Brother Bear was very good at sports and games. He was good at football. He was good at basketball. He was good at soccer. He was good at baseball. Sister Bear was good at these things too, but she was smaller than Brother and younger, so she could not do these things as well as Brother. There was one thing Sister could do better than Brother. That was jump rope. She could jump rope much better than Brother. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week, we're taking a look at that most enigmatic of fibrous strands twisted and braided together to exponentially magnify its strength and power. I am, of course, talking about rope. Rope is one of humankind's earliest inventions. It probably began as nothing more than naturally occurring vegetation wound together into thick strands. The first evidence we have of string-based cords of rope dates back as far as 28,000 years. Rope was used by the ancient Egyptians, who had developed separate rope-making technology to simplify rope production. Tracing the history of rope takes us from Egypt, through China, across Europe. Rope was used in the construction of many of humankind's greatest monuments, from the pyramids to the obelisk in Rome's St. Peter's Square. Rope, be it laid, braided, or miscellaneous, rope has been a part of human development from before recorded history. Rope. But, and I ask this in all sincerity, whither jumping rope? At what point did humans look at a stretch of rope and determine to jump over it? Not upon it, not around it, but up and over. The first example of someone jumping over a suspended piece of rope is, sadly, lost to time. It was most likely just some rope that was lying in the way of someone, or most likely stretched across a path. Because if it was just lying in the way, you could probably just step over it. And that's not jumping. That's stepping. So let's imagine that a length of rope was stretched across a path, maybe as some form of trap, and someone jumped over it. I'm speculating, of course, but it was most likely something like that. All of this is to say that the history of jump rope, of jumping rope, is rather muddy. Jumping rope began in China, or Egypt, or ancient Phoenicia, or the Netherlands, or none of these. It started as a military exercise, or as a form of combat, or as a children's game. It was brought to America by the Dutch, or the English, or the Chinese. Double Dutch is actually Chinese in origin, and Chinese jump rope is actually English. Or not, or maybe it is. Each national league has its own history. No history is appropriately researched. The origins of jump rope are cloudier than the origins of Santa Claus and Jesus combined. I once did multiple episodes on the story of Santa Claus as it related to Christmas. I've done multiple episodes on the history of Easter. In both of those sets of episodes, were clearer and more straightforward than trying to discover, to ferret out, to suss out the history of jump rope. Author Kate Dolan, in her A Dubious History of Jump Rope, as well as in other places on her website, notes that images of European children jumping rope as an exercise and a recreational pastime started showing up in the 1600s. By the 1800s, jumping rope was a recommended form of exercise written about in governesses' manuals, but it was the 20th century that saw jump rope take off in popularity, thanks to its portability as an activity and its proliferation in America's inner cities. You didn't need a whole lot of room to jump rope. You could do it on the sidewalk. You could do it in the street. And all you needed was a rope. It didn't even have to be purchased for the purpose of jumping rope. It could be purchased anywhere. It could be found lying around as long as you had an appropriately long length of rope. In the 1970s, the NYPD and New York Public Schools formed the National Double Dutch League, which quickly spread in popularity across the globe. Skipping rope as a form of adult exercise gained popularity in the 80s thanks to its appearance in the movie Rocky. Schools began incorporating jump rope competition, starting in elementary school, and the rest is a terribly muddled history. But what, you may be wondering, does any of this have to do with our bears? This week, we are back in the Cub Club. That's right. Look, Ma, I'm reading. It's a Cub Club book from 1994, The Berenstain Bears and the Jump Rope Contest. And listeners, this book contains one of the eeriest images I've seen in a Berenstain Bears book. Eerier than the ghost of the forest, eerier than the green-eyed monster, eerier than that homeless bear who was squatting in that house in that one book from a few books back. What was his name? Anyway, eerier, yes. Eerier than that. But we'll get to the eeriness. First, the plot. The Berenstain Bears and the Jump Rope Contest. So as you heard up top, very beginning of the episode, Brother Bear is a fantastic athlete. He excels at all sport all the time. He is a golden god on the playing field, and none can best him. Sister is a pretty good sport also, but she is a small and cannot compete with Brother Bear, except when it comes to jumping rope. Yes, somewhere in Sister's DNA lives the genetic code of the Phoenicians, the Chinese, the Dutch, because jumping rope, jumping over a rope, is a skill that not even Brother Bear, for all his athletic prowess, can hope to match. Sister is a jump rope master. She could jump. She could skip. She could hop. She could jump slowly. She could jump fast. She could jump very, very fast. Now, that was taken directly from the book, and I need to mention that the illustrations show that jumping is when both feet leave the ground at the same time, and skipping is when you alternate feet. I mean, it seems. But hopping is vague. I'm not quite sure from the illustration how it differs from skipping. The minimal research I did suggests that no one agrees on this difference. Surprise! But some people say that jumping involves like the complete rotation of your arm and a higher distance like of the body off the ground, while skipping is more of a wrist movement and shorter, quicker hops. I don't know. I'm not even sure the Berenstains knew. They probably just needed to fill the page. And jumping slowly, jumping fast, and jumping very, very fast, those are just variations on jumping, you know? Also, jumping slowly, while definitely requiring a degree of control, not that impressive. Still, she got it. I mean, she's good. She's good at it. She's so good, in fact, that it starts going to her head. And she starts bragging all about the mad skills, like how mad her skills are to anyone, to anybody who will listen. I am the best jump roper in the whole wide world, she screams at a squirrel. And at her parents, and they get so tired of her mouth that Papa suggests she enter a jump rope contest and put her money where it is, her mouth is. Now, let's take a little time to contrast Sister's behavior with that of Brother. Brother is, as we've established time and again, the more reserved of the two cubs. He excels at many things and yet keeps his pride in check. Brother's no braggart. His flaw is his lack of confidence. Brother tends to overthink and to miss opportunities. He believes he cannot and therefore frequently falls short of his own desires. Sister believes she can and frequently falls short due to a lack of preparation. This book sets up Sister learning a lesson due to her overconfidence. Keep that in mind. So, Sister enters the local jump rope contest and begins just crushing it. She is crushing the competition. It's essentially an endurance test, which that's not a real test of skill, right? It's just, let's see how long we can keep this up, right? So as they set it up in the book, it's primarily Sister jumping against recognizable cubs, recognizable girl cubs. And I'm going to just go off into a little story here. Mitzi and I were once at the roller rink. This was a couple of years ago. And they had a hula hoop competition. And it was divided up into age groups, like children of elementary school age, like junior high age, like high school age, like an adults. And they all sort of gathered together into the little groups. And everyone started hula hooping. They provided these hula hoops. Everyone that stood in the middle of the roller rink and hula hooped. And as it was just an endurance, how long could you hula hoop? And as time wore on, person after person lost control of their hoop and was knocked out. And it finally ended on four girls of roughly the same age, I want to say about 8 or 9 years old, hula hooping together at the same time. And they kept playing song after song after song that was somewhat like hula hoop related until finally they ran out of music because the little girls were just hula hooping like crazy. And if you noticed, if you looked closely at the little girls, you saw the set look in their face. And you realized that each of those little girls had entered the zone. You know, the zone where you're not trying anymore. You've accomplished your goal. You've reached nirvana. You cannot get any better. You cannot be knocked out of your place. They are solidly in the hula hoop zone. And Mitzi and I both recognized this and realized this contest was never going to end. These girls were never going to miss their hula hoop. They were just going to keep hula hooping as long as they could. And it was clear the roller skating rink DJ was not prepared for the length of this hula hoop competition. It was supposed to be about a 5-minute competition. At the 20-minute mark, it was still going. And finally, the DJ threw up his hands in frustration and announced all four to be winners. And I was said to Mitzi, I was like, yes, because these girls are at the appropriate age. They have limitless energy. They can enter the zone. They do not care. They are no longer here to enjoy hula hooping. They are here simply to exist in a permanent state of hula hoop. You can't beat them. And I thought about this in relation to the Berenstain Bears in the jump rope contest. Because at this moment, there is a chance that Sister could just go on forever. She gets into a groove. Except, there's a spoiler in this contest, and it's definitely unexpected. So Sister outjumps Lizzie. She outjumps Queenie. She outjumps Babs. She's on her way to the championship, or to the just like the end of the jump, to just being the last jumper. When? But wait, there was still another jumper. It was Mr. Frog. Where had he come from? Where indeed? Mr. Frog is a minorly recurring character in the Cub Club books and in a few of the other simpler reading books. He rarely directly interacts with the story. He's usually just hopping. He's usually just seen hopping with Sister. In fact, Mr. Frog's presence has frequently been used to indicate that Sister is isolated, without friends. He was one of her only friends before Lizzie came along. But he's always he's just a frog. He's just portrayed as a frog. In fact, his intelligence or any anthropomorphism is just never made clear. Until it is. He apparently came out of the woods with his little jump rope and entered the contest. So, okay. And he's good at jumping, I guess. I mean, so frogs do jump, but not nearly for this long. Like, a frog can jump so well because, like, frogs just, they jump in short bursts. It takes a lot of energy to do what they do. Frogs don't just jump and jump forever. Like, you notice that with frogs and rabbits. Like, a rabbit can run, but, like, it's big hops. Like, it doesn't hop, like, just continuously. It hops in this burst, and then it has to, like, cool down. A frog, too, will jump to get out of the way of something. But it won't just, like, jump, 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 jump forever. That's not how their biology works. A frog will jump until it is out of danger, and then it will slow down. But maybe Mr. Frog does. Maybe Mr. Frog is beyond that? Because Sister's getting tired, and Mr. Frog is just going and going. And is this it? Is this where Sister gets her poetic comeuppance? Well, it starts growing dark, and Brother gets encouraged by this. But why? because the lightning bugs come out. Hundreds and hundreds of lightning bugs. And here, listeners, here is where the eerie image comes in. Mr. Frog starts thinking about those bugs and can't keep from devouring them with his so sticky tongue. But the illustration for it is bizarre, because the bugs are drawn in this staggered pattern. It's these lightning bugs, they look like wallpaper, like they're drawn up and like perpendicular to the ground. Like they don't seem to be flying, they seem to be holding still. They're almost like totemic images of lightning bugs, and they are equally spaced. They look like wallpaper against a blank sky. They're just completely unnaturally arranged. These are not bugs that are in flight. These are just a geometric arrangement of a abstract symbol for lightning bug. I can't explain it any better than that. They look wrong somehow, and I do not like it. No, sir. It is unnerving. Now, I know I probably built that up a lot, but the lightning bugs, they are too flat. They're too geometric. They're too unnatural. I dislike it. I dislike. The long and short of it, however, is that Mr. Frog accidentally gets his tongue stuck on his rope, and he falls down. So Sister wins. And the lesson is, you don't have to be the best in the whole wide world to be a winner. You just have to keep jumping. Which, okay, but wait, what? Wouldn't it have made more sense for Sister to lose and learn that lesson? Like, if Sister got distracted by trying to show off or something, and the kids who just stuck to the jumping beat her, and she learned that endurance beats showiness, or something? It just seems like a real missed opportunity. Like, she goes around bragging, and then she wins, and the frog loses in the end? Like, and the frog doesn't lose because he's not a good jump roper. He loses because an external thing distracts him, and he gets his tongue stuck on the jump rope. And Sister's like, I guess I really am the best. And so no lessons learned. Or maybe Sister should, like, win, but then be like, but it wasn't fair because the frog tripped. Like, or the frog, like, was distracted by something non-jump rope related. I don't know. It's a weird story in that regard. And I wonder if the TV episode based on it will fix any of that. I don't know. But like I said, this is a Cub Club book from the mid-90s. And as far as I know, they never did anything else with this book. I don't think it was ever turned into like a later reader, or I don't think Jesus ever showed up in a later version of it. I think the jump rope contest is just the jump rope contest. If I'm wrong, I'll figure it out later. But I think this one's it. It's an odd book. It doesn't, the lesson's weird. If Mr. Frog shows up at the last minute, like weird, like, just insert, I don't know. I don't know. What I do know is that it's not a book I personally would seek out. Like, you can. It's out there for a few bucks. If you want it, it's on, like, you know, you can buy it used online. It's not a great book. It's not terrible. And you do have that weird image of the geometric lightning bug pattern. Like, if someone wanted to take that and turn it into, like, their desktop background, that'd be a conversation starter. Also, there used to be this thing called the desktop background that people worried about. But now, you know, kids these days, just on your phone. Turn it into your phone background, and then we're talking, right? But otherwise, Berenstain Bears in the Jump Rope Contest, not a fascinating book. Not a fascinating book. Nothing wrong with it. It's nicely illustrated. And I do like some of the pictures of Sister jumping rope. And it did get me to do some jump rope research, although that kind of went nowhere because nobody knows anything about the history of jumping rope anywhere. But fun book nonetheless. I know we've discussed jumping rope in the past because I remember Sister bragging that she could do Red Hot Pepper back in her, you know, Lizzie Bruin book, Berenstain Bears in the Trouble with Friends. So we know that Sister is good at jumping rope, but this is the first book that really addressed it head on. And that's, I mean, I guess that's it. It does establish that Mr. Frog is anthropomorphic, that he is intelligent and will participate in contests. It also establishes that lightning bugs are weird in bear country. But that's about it. There's really not a whole heck of a lot else to say about the Berenstain Bears and the Jump Rope Contest, Cub Club book, 1994. Look, Ma, I am reading. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Is there a TV episode like I teased? Indeed, there is. And if you want to hear my take on the television episode of the Berenstain Bears and the Jump Rope Contest, Go on over to patreon.com/deepinbearcountry. If you donate at least $1 a month to my worthy cause, this show, you get access to all my bonus content. And I try to do a bonus episode every couple of weeks at least. So head on over there and you'll hear me talk about the TV episode of the Berenstain Bears and the Jump Rope Contest. Is it different? Does it fix things? Let's go find out. You can find me online at berensteinbearcast.wordpress.com. Someone asked just recently, hey man, where's your early episodes? Why are there only like 150 episodes available? Because of the way my feed works, my friends. And how do I fix that? Dunno. So if you want to hear my earlier episodes, they are actually accessible. Just go to berensteinbearcast.wordpress.com and all my episodes are there. You just got to scroll down as far as you want and find them. Maybe one day I'll fix the whole feed. I don't know how to do it. I am terrible with computers. If any of you have any ideas, want to lend me a hand, let me know. I'll give you a shout out on the show if you have any ideas how I can fix this. Otherwise, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for just keeping it going. I'm almost at the 5-year mark here, my friends. Almost at the 5-year mark. It's going to be a doozy. I don't know how, but we're going to doozy it up. Also, I'll be at the Fort Myers Fringe Festival performing Deep in Bear Country at the Fort Myers Fringe Festival. It's like April 22nd through the 26th, I think. So if you're around Fort Myers, Florida, check it out. I'll be there. Otherwise, I'll see you all next time deep in Bear Country.